Welcome back to the Tony D Podcast, brought to you by Flooring Is Forever and FlooringIsForever.com, 317-755-1246. I don't know really where to start on this. We've got the controversy of going back, what, 5.5, 6 weeks ago to the first IndyCar race of the season, and IndyCar taking the win away from Joseph Newgarden for manipulating the push to pass. Also, his teammate at Team Penske, Scott McLaughlin, his podium finish was forfeited. Those drivers finished last and second to last at St. Pete. I mean, we talk about championship implications. That is about as massive as it gets. We're going to discuss that. Pacers bounce back in game number two in Milwaukee. They respond with a 20-point blowout victory over the Bucks. We'll see if Giannis Antetokounmpo comes back on Friday for that matinee playoff game number three at home at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. The Colts picking 15th in the upcoming draft Thursday night. We are going to discuss that as well. As always, the Tony D Podcast is brought to you by Flooring Is Forever, FlooringIsForever.com, 317-755-1246. For all of your flooring needs in Central Indiana, Harley has you covered with 5-star reviews on Google and 20 years of experience locally. If you're looking to upgrade the floors in your home or office or business, check out Harley, FlooringIsForever.com. Hey, if you want to sponsor the Tony D Podcast and all things social media with Tony D and D on Twitter for the month of May or the rest of the IndyCar season, would love to have you. You can shoot me an email, tdonahue, D-O-N-O-H-U-E, 9877 at gmail.com. I guess it's where we need to start is with IndyCar coming off of a Long Beach race in which we saw a pissed off Joseph Newgarden at the end of the race. He got bumped by Colton Herta. Scott Dixon pulls his magic again by playing the fuel card, stretching out the fuel mileage, and winning his 20th consecutive season with a victory. Absolutely impressive, to say the least. I mean, one of the greatest of all time, as we know. And he picks up the victory for Chip Ganassi Racing in Long Beach. Joseph was upset after the race, after getting punted by Colton. Colton said, look, you just checked up a little bit too much in front of me. Nothing I could do. I think that shuffled Joseph Newgarden back a few spots. And then he was shuffled back a lot of spots on Wednesday, when it came out around 10 a.m. that Team Penske had manipulated the push-to-pass button in St. Pete at the season opener. I mean, baffled, stunned. I mean, I can't remember a time, you know, man, it's been so long since this has happened. I think Portland in 1995 with Allenzer Jr., but it just doesn't happen. It's usually a hefty fine, and you take away points, but the driver who the fans thought walking out of that race that day won is 99.9% always the winner. And if there was something wrong, you know, Sebastian Bourdais, Milwaukee, 7-10 years ago, there's fines, there's points deducted. But holy crap, this is like the holy grail of penalties that we've ever seen in IndyCar. I mean, you just don't see this. And for it to happen to IndyCar's golden boy, which is not a bad thing. Look, I like Joseph Newgarden. Look, he had the reset, and he had, you know, I don't know what goes on in his personal life. He's been good to me. He's a great talent. But to take it away from the guy that the CW has loved, obviously, this Friday night, the first episode of 100 Days Out airs on the CW at, I believe, 8 o'clock. You know, and then obviously to happen to a Team Penske, two Team Penske drivers. Roger obviously owns the series. It's baffling. Kudos 100% to Jay Fry and the decision makers at IndyCar for taking this win and the points away from Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin. I asked around. There is a chance that this could have just been accidental. This could have been totally an honest mistake. But it seemed like from what I'm told, from people that I believe have knowledge of the situation, from what I'm told, when they practiced on Sunday morning at Long Beach, the entire system of the push to pass that's kind of dictated through computers and how much boost you get, and you're not allowed to use it on on starts and restarts, although you could at Thermal Club, which was an all-star race, but you can't do it in a points-paying race like St. Pete's. A little confusing there. But they were the only ones that had it working, which told them they had different components, different parts, as they probably tested, you know, the car that they used to test the last time for the upcoming hybrid was used at St. Pete, and that same car probably wasn't used at Thermal Club. I'm sure the cars that were used at Thermal Club were quote-unquote backup cars, because you didn't want to ruin a primary car in a non-points-paying race at a track that you were going to test a lot of miles on. So that would be my guess. But again, everybody at IndyCar that came down with this, it's crazy. And look, you know, there is making light of the situation. Parkside has sent out the Joseph Newgarden winning cards, the updated card sets. You've got people like a couple friends of mine that we talked about who had Pato Award win bets down at St. Pete, and it looks like the sports books are not going to pay those out. Of course they're not. They're the shadiest sons of bees in the freaking world. But man, I mean, just staggering. And now, you know, does this set the precedent of, look, you obviously can't do that, but if you get caught doing something, you know, it's not like Joseph finished 14th. If Joseph finished 14th, this probably would have been a fine and a 10-point reduction, or maybe a grid penalty at the next race. But the fact that he won the race, dominated, was pulling away. I mean, look, Joseph Newgarden's a great driver. Don't get me wrong. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, wait, what about Scott Dixon? When are we gonna investigate Scott Dixon's fuel tank? I'll leave that to others. But yeah, I mean, just absolutely crazy that this happened. And it really shakes up the points heading into Alabama this weekend, a race I'm heading down to. It shakes up a lot of things. So I'm excited for the race this weekend. Should be a good one. A place that Scott McLaughlin won last year. A place Joseph Newgarden got his first career win. Those drivers are going to be driving pissed off, and they're going to have to drive for maximum points from here on out. It's not like my fantasy team where you wipe out your worst point total. It's not a win and for Joseph, and it's not a podium for Scott McLaughlin. So absolutely crazy. All right, Pacers, big win Tuesday night. Was excited for that. Look, this is a team that just looked absolutely horrid on Sunday night. Looked unprepared. Looked just dead in the water from the get-go. Rick Carlisle makes some great adjustments, and they get guys good looks like Nimhard, like Neesmith, like Ben Shepherd, like Obi Toppin. I tweeted yesterday, I said, look, these guys have to combine for at least 30 points. Well, they combined for 48 in a 17-point win. So there you go. Pretty spot on right there. If those guys can get you 25 to 30 a night, they got to rebound better. This Pacers team definitely has to rebound better. Too many second-chance opportunities. I know people were pissed that Brook Lopez hit six threes. He's a three-point shooter. But look, if a guy's going to get hot like that once in the series, let him do it. It obviously didn't lead to much. You got to keep Dame in a box. 35 in the first half in game one, zero in the second half. Had another big night, but I mean, shout out to Pascal Siakam. This guy is playing his absolute ass off. He's writing his own check for his next contract, and we hope as Pacer fans that it is here in Indiana. There's still that small chance that he could leave, but I mean, back-to-back career playoff highs, 35 and 37, just absolutely outstanding. And the Pacers really have an opportunity to do what Miami did last year and knock off the Bucks in the first round. That starts coming up on Friday, 5:30 Eastern tip time, which is crazy. And then they play again at home on Sunday. So come on out, Cambridge Fieldhouse, make it loud. Should be an absolute awesome atmosphere. And let's hope the Pacers can keep that home court advantage and go up 3-1 by the time we wake up on Monday. The Colts in the NFL draft coming up. Hey, if you haven't checked out some of my stuff on Draft Nation, draftnation.com. This is a new website that I have partnered with. They are out of Pittsburgh, which is actually where I'm recording this podcast from right now. They're having a draft party, but we've partnered with Bullseye. We're going to have a bunch of Colts and Pacers draft type coverage. I invite you to check it out, draftnation.com. You know, I think the best option for the Colts at 15 is to either trade up or trade down. I would prefer to trade down. There are so many good players at the cornerback, D defensive end and wide receiver position where the Colts have their strongest needs, that you could, you know, trade down to 24th or 25th, 26th, still get a really good top-tier player while adding, you know, maybe another second-round pick, maybe adding another third-round pick. And we know Ballard loves his picks, and he said it in his press conference last week when he met with the media. You know, hey, the more picks we get, the better, because that's just more guys we got coming into the building and more competition at different spots. So I would expect the Colts to trade down, maybe 22nd to 27th. Still get a guy like Nate Wiggins. Brock Bowers could be there if you want to go that direction at tight end. There's a couple other players that are there as well. Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama is another guy that comes to mind. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, who is kind of all over the draft boards, didn't work out at the combine coming off of an injury, has been listed to go anywhere from 8th to 30th. But we've got you covered, DraftNation.com. Check us out at RealDraftNation on Twitter, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's exciting time for the Colts, exciting time for the Pacers, obviously exciting time for the Fever with Caitlin Clark, despite Greg Doyle being Greg Doyle. I know we talked about that on the last podcast, but what a time to be in the Circle City of Indianapolis when it comes to sports, on the verge of another sellout in the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. I believe they're about 15,000 tickets ahead of where they were this time last year, right on pace with the 2016 Indianapolis 500, the 100th running, in which we know was indeed sold out and the blackout was lifted. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting the Tony D podcast. I have a subtext subscription. If you want to win a hat to the shop, sign up, $4.99 a month. You were the first to hear this morning about this massive news when it came to IndyCar and Joseph Newgarden. Sent it out via the text, and we'll have a lot more prizes and giveaways throughout, so it's just a great way to support me. And if you'd like to sponsor the Tony D podcast, again, feel free to shoot me an email or find me on Twitter at Tony D Indy. Have a great week. Go Colts, go Pacers, go Las Vegas Golden Knights. That's my hockey team. And it should be a good weekend down in Barber for the NTT IndyCar Series.